Azure Study, written and read by Fresney, Fandom, Sherlock, BBC, Warnings for Omegaverse, part of the Variations on an Equation series. Also, this is Jim Moriarty's perspective for A Study in Azure. So if you're not at least familiar with the basic outline of that story, this may not make any sense. But maybe, in another reality, a few degrees tumbled of green, a week before Jim was to deliver that tube of cream, Carl's Da was arrested for stealing from the till. Looking at the devastation on Carl's face, the way he curled into himself and wouldn't look anyone in the eye, it was a delight. It was a revelation to that Jim, to that Jim Moriarty. Such a revelation that he told his ma he was going to Dublin to visit the old gang. The useless bint of an Omega wittered on at him for being so close to presentation, but he paid her no mind. He paid her no mind until he went like a bitch into heat. He was glad his Da had been gunned down in the street. He was glad his Da had never come to see him like this. Legs slick like an Omega. Begging to be bred by Davy McGuire. What of Da's old lieutenants? Davy grunting red-faced over him, pounding into him with Jim, telling him to pump him harder or he'd kill him. Davy's teeth twisting into Jim's neck, and Jim loving the mark. Davy nodded tight in him. Jim loving every minute of it. Loved every minute of being filled with Davy's seed. Afterwards, Jim shot Davy in the face because he was garbage. He dared presume that Jim would be staying, that he somehow owned Jim now. He put the crime on Rory Tufflin's crew and left without talking to anyone else. Worst thing was, he was in effing Dublin, miles from any place he could get an after-heat pill. He'd been bred, and there wasn't a thing he could do about it. The entire ferry ride back from Dublin, listening to drunk Swedes sing, he would kill them later. He thought about what had happened. He was an Omega. He was a bitch of a slick-tailed Omega. Davy's brat clinging to his body right now. He was useless and weak, and he would never be like his Da. His Da who'd howled like a mad dog and been gunned down in the streets. Jim had done that. He was the one who'd had his Da killed. He'd dealt with Carl, and he'd taken care of Davy. He hadn't been weak then. He thought a lot about that on the ferry ride back. Jim was an Omega with a pretty smile. He had such a pretty way of talking. Olaf, who was going to die first, kept telling him that, even after his friends told him to get away from the jail bait. At least Jim thought that's what they were saying. He didn't speak Swedish. Still, it was fun to flirt and slip something into Olaf's drink. Botulism really was a perfect poison. Olaf didn't die. That would happen later. But it was so very funny that no one questioned him. A young Omega just presented while visiting cousins in Dublin. The beta officer he went to complain about those damn Swedes was very kind, especially with a whiff of Jim's scent, already changing with a wee little one on the way, and him so young. That was worth thinking about. Worth not doing anything about it right away. He watched the way the beta women fussed over him and gave him treats. The way the beta men got up out of their seats so he could sit on the tube. The way the alphas came sniffing at him. How at school everyone acted like he'd been sorted now. Now that he was having a little one. Now that he was an Omega. Oh, there were some that acted like he was a tart for having one on the way. But wasn't it such a surprise when their dirty little secrets came to light? Jim was certainly surprised. Surprised in the center of attention. He loved it. He was made to be at the center. His ma was worthless about it. She kept going on about what were they going to do, as if it wasn't as easy as breathing to give the thing away. Its squished face red as Davy's had been, before Jim put a bullet between those pig eyes of his. He was better prepared during his next heat. For the way in the weeks leading up, the alphas argued and fought over him. He laughed and played the game of the world. It was such a sexy world, and he was going to have some fun with it. He was in the middle of scratching an itch with garbage he'd throw away later, when he realized that omegas were weak, maybe 3 days out of 3 months. Alphas were led by their cocks all the time, while betas, so eager to please. That was when he saw to it his ma was sectioned. Easy enough to do. Someone who'd let her power be taken from her as she'd done. She deserved to be locked away. He caught his first gang of thieves when he was 17, and him with a baby on the way. Getting knocked up was worth it to turn that Basque separatist up sweet. Oh, that one had a wee with explosives that was a wonder to behold. Growling in a language Jim couldn't give an F about, while he pistoned in and out and locked deep. His voice made Jim think of explosions. Of course, if that particular gang had paid their cut to Jim, he wouldn't have had to turn them in. He smiled for the photographer with his prettiest smile with one hand on his belly. Of course, he was too young to keep it, but there would always be someone willing to take the thing off his hands. That's what the world was for. Now, he was a bit miffed when he went to uni and said that he wanted a degree in criminology. His academic advisor acted as if he'd said he'd wanted to walk on the moon, as if he wasn't at the top of the food chain. Useless beta. Still, it would be a bit obvious if half his professors ended up dead. So he smiled and looked down, because that was the game. Still, a fair number of his professors did get arrested, divorced, and fine, he did kill Professor Katzenfield. Not less wonder that. Jim planned crimes and kept his distance from getting his hands dirty, except when he wanted them to be dirty. He caught criminals. The papers called him the Thief-Taker General. Since the name was his own idea, he smiled to see it. There were the ghost-written books about his life. Pretty Lies, the reality television shows with the catchy theme songs. The first series was exciting enough, but season 2 went international, went viral like the plague. Season opener, there he was in Paris, with another one on the way. It played well with the ratings, with the Sigur Holmes, alias Jack Pendergrast, alias Rex Stout, alias Arsène Lupin, international thief of mystery in cuffs. Slick-tailed Meg should have paid Jim his cut. It was as if Sigur didn't realize that Europe was Jim's. They went in for their close-up. The last words from Sigur. Damn, but the cameras were in love with him. The bitch looked Jim right in the face and said in the most musing sort of way, "Maybe I'm the aberration. It's not as if we Omega men were made with breasts to give our children suck. But the moment they put my children in my arms, I knew I'd do anything for them. But you, look at you. You haven't a heart in you." He made a rolling gesture with his fingers, meant to encompass the curve of Jim's belly, as if that curve somehow defined Jim. Holmes's cuffs clanked as he moved. Jim stayed well back. Sigur had killed a man once with a paperclip. Jim kept his smile on. The Eiffel Tower in the backdrop would be looking scenic for the kids back home. "You just pass your children off to a beta and move on. Biological success." Sigur smiled for the camera, and Jim could just see how this would play. There were at least 6 mobiles filming the whole thing. Effing Japanese tourists. He wanted to snarl that of course that's what he did. That's what betas were for. That's what the world was for. Or maybe it's that you're a throwback. Or maybe it's that you're a throwback to before humans knew how to love. The fucker winked at him and threw him back his own tagline. Hey, sexy, I'm ready for prison now. Jim unfroze the fuck up. Of course I'm not a throwback, sweetheart. I'm an omega in control of my own sexuality and scene. Pity Sigurd died on his way to trial. More's the pity that Jim had to end that episode with a shot of him with his brats and a few extra appearances to children's charities. What with him being a concerned modern omega and all. A shiv to Sigurd's back had been too good. Still, his star was on the rise. If his da could have seen him, he wouldn't have even comprehended the empire that Jim had built. Jim was Catherine the Great. He was Cleopatra. He was even better. There was no end in sight when he found the best pets roaming feral at a party at the V&A. Sherlock was there, examining the quality of the security. Oh, the way he sniffed around was a joy to behold. He looked at everyone and everything. He hardly saw Jim. But then he was all alpha, and Jim was playing up his flirty side. Hey, sexy. And Sherlock looked right through him, with his big alpha cock and his I'm the most important thing in the room attitude. Jim would be training that right out of him, he would. Even better, when he got the packet on him. Sherlock was Sigur Holmes' precious youngest. Too bad the bitch was dead. What was going to come next really would have killed him. Oh, Irene was there, too. Slick Omega with her deep songbird's voice and her eyes on plucking the secrets out of a very specific prize. She wanted to sing in the Paris Opera House. She wanted so many things. She took one look at Jim and she knew him. She brought him a glass of champagne and held it out like tribute. The curve of her lips said she knew exactly who he was. Pretty bird. He wanted them. He wanted both of them. They'd make such pretty sounds when they broke. Jim always got what he wanted. He played them both. Such a complicated game. He screwed them both. He even bonded with them. Not at the same time, of course. Although, he probably should have had Sherlock spayed. Or was that neutered? Jim couldn't be bothered to remember. Bad pet. No biscuit. Well, no. He couldn't stay angry with his cuddly puppy. Damn. But Sherlock put attention to detail, even in rut. His intense way of narrowing all that focus down to little old Jim, who was born to be at the center, who was made to receive that kind of attention. It wasn't necessary to give commands. Sherlock paid attention to detail, knotted when it was perfect, when Jim was ready to throw his head back and feel the pulse inside of him. He couldn't stay angry with Irene. It their bonding day, and she looking for ways to rise her star, as if Jim wasn't the center of the firmament, and everyone else was meant to kiss his firmament, which she did with sweet lips and calculating eyes and tongue and control. Oh, the control. Pet trying to trade it, not knowing Jim was letting her sing for just a little while. He should have savored it. He should have made it stretch out for years. But they broke so easily. Little pieces were all over the floor, and what was a mummy like Jim to do but sweep them away? His songbird stopped singing. Well, he'd seen to it that she couldn't. Dreams were made to be crushed. He took his songbird's voice. He took his puppy's freedom. For about 5 seconds. His dog was a slippery one. He really needed to look up if it was spayed or neutered. It was a shame about the baby, really. But the ratings went through the roof for the episode where he lost it. The time the infamous Sherlock Holmes and Irene Adler died for the first time. He broke Sherlock's older brother as an afterthought. That Omega Bint was more vulnerable than he pretended, and his unnamed government agency was ready-made for a good Omega to step into his bad slack. That was the sweetest bit. Wasn't it lovely to find his pets weren't dead? Seeing them again was like seeing sad little baby wolves wave their paws after their teeth had been pulled. Although his metaphors went, didn't really work. Perhaps if his Irene wasn't a bird anymore, perhaps she was a rattlesnake. Foolishly given her prey fair warning, and Sherlock was not as cold-blooded as he liked to think. They were just adorable, with their little schemes and jobs. Except when they crossed Jim. He ended up very cross with several people, and there were some very unfortunate deaths, which had to be deleted from the unfortunately short-lived reality show about his home life. Which was unfortunate. He'd really hoped to add that to the in-depth investigative show, and the little show he privately called Pay Up or You're Under Arrest. Naturally, that wasn't its actual name. The home show would have brought a sense of humanity to the thief-taker general. Also, the theme song had been simply adorable. His tagline might be, "Hey, sexy." But there was no reason for certain papers to behave as if he was some sort of homme fatale. After all, there was nothing wrong in this day and age for an Omega to be raising their children without an Alpha. That's what betas are for. Oh, who was he kidding? He was such a kidder. He loved it when they called him that. He made Colonel Moran keep a book of clippings. If only the world wasn't full of morons, he said to Colonel Moran. She put down the glue gun and kept her eyes down, as if he'd ever hurt her. His right-hand Alpha. Why, he'd had her brat and everything. Yes, sir. At least it wasn't boring. At least it wasn't dull. Still, it was an adorable seeing his Sherlock think he'd be allowed to pair-bond with a little Omega, some bitch of a doctor. Sherlock actually thought he'd be allowed to knot about, breeding whoever he wanted. So adorable that Jim smashed all the equipment in his headquarters. Sherlock was his pet. Neutered. The word was neutered. It was almost a little disappointing when he had them where he wanted them. Little bitch Johnny tied up where Jim could play with him later. Sherlock mad with grief at the death of his bitch. Wasn't that the sweetest part? Irene in prison clothes, bantering with him about orange not being her color. His only thought, really, when she cut his throat open, was she hadn't given him any warning. He didn't really have time to decide what kind of bad pet that made her, before he lost consciousness. He'd have been disappointed to know he was killed by a faceless employee, a beta, when hooked up to machines. But he was dreaming of puppies chasing their tails and never knew. Death being a dreamless sleep when the long trick was over.